friend is Evie Zamora.
Looks like she grew up this summer.
What's up, Evie?
Nice socks.
What do you think? Mom, do I look okay?
You look incredible.
Here, Mom, listen to this. It's not simple, nor is it an easy matter to explain. Let's just leave it at that, she says. And closes the holy book of lies, she covers her eyes.
Tracy!
We gotta talk about it when I get back, okay?
Cute shirt. Call me after school. We can go shopping.
One, two, three, go.
Guess who I hung out with today?
Evie Zamora?
Oh, you could really help me if I lived here.
Hey, boys.
Have you had anything to eat today?
Mom, stop with the food thing already!
She's starting to scare me.
You can get more piercings.
What's that on your shirt?
I need business.
Well, all the disclosure should not be here. You promised Mason and you promised me.
Nice butt.
So, Brady, how's the halfway house?
The same as the last one, Trish.
How do you explain $860 in your purse?
We jacked it, okay?
Tracy was playing Barbies before she met Evie.
I'm really starting to lose it.
No bra, no pants.
Stop it.
She needs help, Dad.
What is the problem?
In a nutshell.
What? I'm fucking sad, Mom. Fuck you. Eat shit.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. This movie, wow. But decided to watch all 10 of the Best Picture nominees.
Oh my God.
I'd seen a few of them. I'm like, and the ones that I've seen, I liked. So I figured just rewatch and then watch the ones I haven't so far.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to this. Have you heard about the Zone of Interest?
I've heard the name of it, but I don't know what it's about.
Dude, it's about the commandant of Auschwitz and and his family life just outside the camp at the special house that he had built.
I knew he had a house there. Yeah.
And like his, it's all about his regular family life. Well, what's going on is going on. And I said, that sounds horrifying, but it'll probably be really good.
There was some documentary I saw about like Nazis on vacation, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just like a lot of home videos of like Goering and Goebbels and shit. Just like, hey, we're on a beach in Lederhosen, high-fiving our kids. Yeah. And like, no, I don't want to see that shit.
But I already watched Maestro, which was garbage. That's like the worst one. So it was not good. I watched The Holdovers. Very good. Haven't seen American Fiction yet. The premise seems fascinating.
Yeah, so we'll, I want to see it.
How that goes. And the one I'm looking forward to the most is actually Poor Things. I haven't seen Poor Things yet.
I'm mad at myself for not having seen it yet, because I was really excited to see it when it came out, and it was like bad timing, basically. It was like, well, I have travel coming up for the weekends, and I don't have time to see it, and then it was out of theaters. If we're giving recs, if you guys have not watched In the Know on Peacock, stop listening to our podcast and watch In the Know on Peacock. That shit is fucking perfect. It is... it's claymation, you know, which is a little bit off-putting because it's not it's hard to, they're ugly characters for the most part. But it's like set at NPR with this guy who is, you know, NPR host.
Oh, it's a space ghost.
Yeah.
It's like space ghost.
It's like a space ghost.
With a live interviewee with the cartoon. Okay. Yeah. I saw the preview. This looks good.
I would say when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is the most like searing takedown of liberals I've ever seen in my life. And MAGA world would not watch this show. Like, they wouldn't get it. And it's the joke is not like, oh, liberals are dumb, liberals suck. It's like liberals are so earnest, they can't get out of their own way. It's basically what's going on. It is so fucking funny. Very joke dense. One of my favorite Instagram personalities. Caitlin Riley is one of the voices, and I love everything she does. So yeah, watch In the Know. It is excellent. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief rebellion and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. I was looking it up. It's a Mike Judge joint. So
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it is.
He's good at this stuff after watching all of King of the Hill in the past 3 years.
Daria
too. It's Brayburn. It's kind of Apple.
There's a part in, I think, the second episode where one of the people who always does a recorded show has to get on the radio live. And she's like, I can do it. It's fucking fine. And I would say conservatively for 90 seconds, she rambles incoherently. It's like, it's not like she's saying nonsense words. She's saying actual words, but they don't belong in any order she's saying them in. Mm. And then when she has a break, she's like, okay, all right, that was bad. It's okay. I'm going to rally. I'm going to do it again. And then it happens all over again. I'm like, oh my God, it is. I laughed so fucking hard. Kudos to you, Mike Judge.
All right, I'll have to check this out. Oh, there's something I was going to say, and now I can't remember. Like, what did I watch? Oh, just the halftime show. Usher Raymond.
Usher.
John and Luda are going to do it again.
Well, here's my thing. I loved it. However, it's difficult to do that kind of a show when 90% of your songs are slow jams. Because I was talking to a friend of the pod, Tony Oakes. Liked it. I talked to Tony Oakes, and he was like, should he have opened with Yeah? And I'm like, and then what do you close with? What is your other really high energy Usher song?
So what I thought he should have opened with, because I did the This Is Usher on Spotify.
And
I
was like, Wanna, obviously.
it's not an exciting song to end the set on.
But I think there's a way.
You start with that.
You could have started with Without You, because it's like, now I feel like I need to look up the lyrics, but there's like certain things like I can't win, I can't climb, I can't fly. It was like very sports.
Yeah.
And it starts like, I can't win. And he kind of like come down in a cool way. And then it's like, win. And then David Guetta goes,
okay.
And then like the
beat
goes up.
That.
So you could have gone like slow.
Yeah.
I thought it was
great.
Yeah. I heard like everything, even if it was only like a second of it, but 7 o'clock on the dot.
And the shadow on the 7 o'clock was nice. You know, he
was great.
Yeah. And the roller skating was nice. I do have to join the rest of Black America and make fun of Jermaine Dupri's clothes, but you know, I mean,
just like Boss Baby. I know. I missed all the memes because I was like busy at work yesterday.
He's wearing culottes.
But everybody, I heard some, they're like, I thought it was CeeLo Green. And then I was like, no, it was Jermaine Dupri in voice shorts.
CeeLo Green. No, it's not
CeeLo Green, this old machine.
Dude, on American Dad, he plays a hot tub.
Well,
fucking hot tub. It's amazing.
The best thing he ever did was he popped up on The Voice and he turned in his chair and I think he had a cat, like a white cat. And I was like, I know there's like questionable stuff in his past, but like when he spun around canceled. that chair with a white, I was like, yes, you are a Bond villain.
And see, correct. For me, there's a, he plays Reverend Rollo Goodlove on one episode of The Boondocks, and he sings Go-Go Gospel from one of the Gnarls Barkley albums, and it is such a great moment. I'm just like, this is everything about this is great.
Back to Usher really quickly. That man is in his mid-40s.
Yes.
And fantastic. Black truly don't crack.
No. As a proud, bald American, I've been shaving my head since I was 20. I'm very jealous of his hairline. It looked good. I'm looking at the front and the back, and it's like a lot of what I shave now is muscle memory. There's nothing growing there. It's the remnants of a once great hair society. But he's got apparently like a full head, and Luda with all that hair. I'm like, fuck with you guys. I don't want it, but I wish I could have it.
Yeah, I was just like looking it up, and I was like, man, this dude still looks great. He's been a part of my life since the mid-90s.
Yeah. You might say he's been a part of your life since you were like 13. Speaking of which, this week we are talking about 13. From 2003. You can rent it on Amazon, Apple TV, and Vudu. The synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes. Honor student Tracy Freeland has a troubling home life but she's close to her mother, Melanie. While trying to conceal her inner turmoil by exceeding academically, she befriends the calculating Evie, her school's queen bee. Evie talks Tracy into experimenting with drugs, exploring her sexuality, and pickpocketing strangers to finance shopping sprees. But before long, Melanie realizes she must step in and stop her daughter's destructive lifestyle. That last bit's not accurate at all. It ain't before long. It's a long time, and she barely steps in.
Tracy sought Evie out, and there's a lot that's not quite right.
Yeah,
there.
Tracy chose to pickpocket on her own. Evie did not convince her to do that.
Yeah. And the first thing you do is take the cash, throw the credit cards away, dummy. Mm-hmm. You don't want those on you.
Also, she didn't really talk her into experimenting with drugs. She's like, hey, man, here's drugs. Do you want some? She's like, yeah.
You sure do.
Yep.
You bet.
Yeah. So that's,
I've been waiting. Yeah. Thank you.
It's about time. Noelle didn't have shit.
Thank you.
All right. Dave, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Evan Rachel Wood plays Tracy. Nikki Reed is Evie. Holly Hunter in an Oscar nominated performance.
Was she really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
This
movie surprised
it.
A lot of people. A lot of people.
It's an Oscar bait role. It's similar to Allison Janney in I, Tonya, I feel like. Like you're playing this mom as a way to get an Oscar.
Yeah.
It's almost like when Laurie Metcalf didn't get her nom for Lady Bird.
Yep.
Offensive. That is a
And she was maybe the best part of that movie.
It's a blah movie with a great performance out of her.
When is Lori Metcalf the best thing in anything that she's in?
I like Lady Bird.
I didn't like it.
I hated Chalamet, but Lady Bird was pretty good.
Timothée was doing what was asked and required.
Lady Bird. Yeah. Jeremy Sisto plays Brady. That's a weird character. I didn't quite know what he was, but
I get it, man.
Yeah.
I get it.
Brady Corbett as Mason Freeland, who lives in a shed in the back.
Yeah, we talk about him a lot.
Deborah Kara Unger as Brooke. Sarah Clark as Birdie. Vanessa Ann Hudgens. It's Vanessa Hudgens as Noelle. Kip Sunshine Pardue as Luke.
Sunshine!
The dad, Travis, is played by D.W. Moffat, and that's fine.
That's all the important ones there. Before we get into the recap and the segments, let's go around the horn and give some memories the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
So, sorry, I meant to look this up. So it came out in September of 2023. I definitely remember like watching this, I think in my dorm room junior year. And I don't know if it was like something that like came on the movie channel or like someone brought it back, because like sometimes my friends' parents, like when they would come by on the weekends, they didn't live far, they would just like give us movies to watch. So I don't know if it was like that or it just popped on the movie channel, but I like vividly remember being in my like giant room junior year, which was like on its own floor by itself, us just like sitting there being like horrified watching this movie.
It's terrifying.
But yeah, vivid memory, junior year of college, watching this in my dorm room.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
I saw it about 2 hours ago.
Oh, first time. I'm sorry.
I remember the iconic poster with the tongue rings. I'm like,
uh-huh.
Okay, this could be interesting. But they're 13 in the movie. I remember even being probably, when this came out, I was probably what, like 17?
You were 17, 18, yeah.
I don't need to watch 13-year-olds do that shit, because I've actually seen the NC-17 like more hardcore version of this.
That's
movie.
A thing.
Yeah, no, it's there's
even like real life.
Have you ever seen the movie Kids before?
Okay, yes, I've seen Kids. Okay. Yeah, Kids is
a lot of similar themes here. Mm-hmm. It's definitely more nihilistic and way more fucked up, but. So that kind of prepared me for what this ended up being, but this was still pretty something.
Yeah, yeah. So I said last week, I used one of the free rentals that I had from the video store when I worked at the video game store in the summer of 2004. I don't know how we landed on it. In my mind, we watched this. I watched it with Sex Preamble in the basement. Remember, we didn't want to make out or anything afterward. We were just like, oh God. But I think I don't know if I watched this and then there was the Oprah interview with Nikki Reed, or if there was the Nikki Reed
interview.
Yeah. She's on Oprah like to promote this movie. And I had to look it up because I would have been back in college. I would have been my freshman year of college by the time this movie came out. So it would have had to been like the summer afterward. So I don't know if I watched it in 03 and then like remembered the movie and rented it in 04 or what, but there's a Nikki Reed interview. It might be her and Evan Rachel Wood, with Oprah. And, but yeah, I watched it with Sex Preamble. We didn't want to be romantic afterward. And she also had a sister. She had a sister who was like 14 or 15 at the time. And I think this movie like genuinely emotionally impacted her. So it was, yeah, we just sat there afterward like, well, you should probably go home, I guess.
Yeah, because, so, yeah, like in 2000, y'all were still in high school in 2003.
Well,
right?
We were on the way to college because I entered college in August of 03.
Well, I was a junior. He was a senior.
But I didn't see this in the theater. So I'm wondering if I saw the interview and then when I had my free rentals, I was like, oh, here's one that I remember. That's how I watched Wet Hot American Summer and Princess Mononoke. I'm like, yeah, I remember this movie. I wanted to watch this at the time. And then, yeah, I picked it up. So regardless, I just remember being horrified and flaccid by the end of it. Data didn't make the greatest show they held this back.
I remember it like being more shocking. And like we had in the text thread where I'm like,
more shocking. Guessing,
yeah, I remember like being like more shook by it. But like it was a quainter time in 2003 or 2004. Like that's by the true. Time I watched this, like by the time it came on like the movie channel. I definitely think it was like the second half of junior year because I think some of our friends were like abroad. So I was like, I don't remember like everybody being in my room watching this. So it was a quainter time. It was, you know,
it was
9/11 happened, but Trump didn't exist yet. And
yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have Obama.
Miley was still a little baby and it was, yeah, it was a different time.
So yeah, I remember being like more scandalized by it then. Now, you know, I'd watch Skins, I watch Euphoria, like the teens are teening, you know what I'm saying? And it's not what I did when I was 13. I've also, have you guys watched Eighth Grade? I thought about picking that for the next movie.
No, but I want to.
It should have been on the list. It's right. And
I want to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a softer version of this, but it would have been a good next one because this is seventh grade. But yeah, ultimately,
Bo Burnham.
Yeah, Bo Burnham. I was less taken aback this time because like I've already seen it, I know the beats, but damned if the final scene in the kitchen, I was crying. I was.
They performed the hell out of it.
So good. Yeah. So. It's definitely like not all of the dialogue is great. We'll obviously like nitpick as we go through, but it was written by Nikki Reed with the director. So like, you know, it's not the best thing in the world. But yeah, I don't know how to say it makes a grade. Like, don't watch it. You're going to be depressed.
Yeah, it's but sad.
It was, you know, it's not the worst thing we fucking watched. Oh, so no. I'll give it like a B minus.
Okay.
Evan Rachel Wood is great. Holly Hunter. Sally. Where is she? Is she from like Arkansas? Like, what is this accent?
I don't know what her accent is.
Love her accent. Have you ever seen The Firm?
Yes. No.
She actually plays someone from Arkansas or Tennessee or Kentucky, some state in there. And she has this. Oh, man.
I was going to say.
I love Holly. I love Holly Hunter.
If you haven't seen Mr. Mayor with her and Ted Danson,
I was going to call it out.
It's so good. She's so good on that show.
She sounds just like this. And she's so funny on it. But it's just like people that like, it's like her, Fran Drescher, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like y'all have been in Hollywood. You know, you don't have to sound like that. But it's just
Jodie
like.
Foster.
She should have been Clarice Starling. Exactly. Jodie Foster. That voice. It's the perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. The perfect Clarice Starling voice.
Yeah.
She's from Georgia. Conyers. Okay. Yeah.
Is that North Georgia or is that South Georgia?
I don't know the fuck.
Conyers, Georgia. All right.
It's the whole day through.
But yeah, it's so Holly Hunter. Yeah, there's a lot of great people in it, but it is very fucking depressing. So
okay. Dave, what do you say?
Let me do a quick little shot here.
Yeah, you better drink first. Oh boy, that's Jaeger. That's what that is.
You're not just gonna have a nondescript bottle from a random dude on the Sunset Strip,
right? Like a squirt bottle.
The last 30 minutes are pretty heartbreaking when it all becomes real. Mm-hmm. The first hour and 10 are kind of, it's kind of like Euphoria, where there's just fun to be had. The only person having a real life is Holly Hunter, kind of, and maybe the other kids, but she's just floating. And then the stuff that you find out when, you know, there are consequences, it becomes very unpleasant. I was comparing it to Kids, the Harmony Korine movie. It's pretty fucked up. Obviously it's not like Kids where one guy gives everybody AIDS. So
it could have been worse. It's not Kids.
But there's a lot of human misery in this, and it really, really, it bummed me out. And the ending just kind of leaves you. You gotta go either way.
It comes out of nowhere. The ending is abrupt.
So I don't mind being confused or like kind of left hanging by movies, because overall the story is interesting and it just furthers my thesis of kids being fucking stupid, because
stupid,
a lot of stupid behavior. A mom trying her best, but she's broken too, and broken people making broken people making broken people. Now she's trying, but
I'm not convinced she's trying her best.
Her best is not what should be for someone who has a kid.
Her best is like a two. Okay. She's not capable.
Fine, she didn't try hard enough.
I don't think she did. I'll talk about it as we go.
Fine. Of everybody else in the movie, she's trying the hardest.
I'll give you that. Yes. Well, Mason tries pretty hard.
I had points where I'm like, this is good storytelling. It bumps me up, but I'm not going to completely just say it's the worst movie ever, because I was sad at the end. So I'll say B. Okay. I liked the interesting story. It's a real story. I felt it was honest, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, it made the grade for me. There are some problems with the pacing and with the way some of the characters are fleshed out, but like the acting is really good. It never drags. It's like an hour and 40, but probably 10 minutes of that is credits. There are some things they do with cinematography that I thought were very good, with like the way they do the lighting and some of the coloring and some of the things that they highlight on the screen. I thought were really, really well done. Before we jump into the fun facts and everything, before we get into the recap and the segments, I have a fun fact, and then I'll see if there's others. As Dana said, this was written by Nikki Reed, who was 16 when the movie premiered. She returned to her public high school after this, but then dropped out a year later after she said that mothers continuously showed up at lunch to harass her for making this movie. And I think it's like mothers of girls at her school, like, you're the reason why my daughter's on drugs. It's like, dude, no, not because of this movie.
The whole last scene of the film, I'm sure that was done to her by a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
More on that later.
It seems like they basically like tormented her by just like popping up at school when you could still do that, and just getting in her face and being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So that's some shit. Any other fun facts?
So I kept seeing that it was written by like the director and Nikki Reed, and I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. The reason why is because like Nikki was going, so Catherine Hardwick was dating Nikki Reed's dad.
Oh.
And Nikki was like going down a bad path, and like she's like, I was witnessing this like all firsthand, and she's like, I wanted her to get back to like to do things more constructive and like and get back to her creative side. So it was Catherine Hardwick's idea to get her to write this. So that's like how it all kind of started, is like Nikki was going down a bad like dark path.
That's a lot better than like go to boot camp,
right?
You know, make
like
a movie.
I'm shipping you away. Right. Yeah.
Wow. Well, good for her.
Yeah. So that was an interesting one. I saw it in the trivia, quote unquote, but I also knew about it just because this is who I am. Both Evan Rachel Wood and Nikki Reed go on to play vampires.
Of course.
Nikki Reed is married to also a fellow former vampire, Evan Summerholder, from Vampire
That's
Diaries.
Right. Evan Rachel Wood on True Blood. She was a vampire queen of Louisiana.
You betcha.
I love that.
And Nikki Reed was in the Twilight films. Does she look like the character she played? Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. Well, she wears a blonde wig. That's really bad, and has to wear fake contacts.
I don't like any of that. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the recap and the segments here. Usually I don't try to go chronologically. I try to like pick out, you know, big themes to talk about. This movie doesn't really have that. It's just like a straight line from start to finish. So we're going to go more or less chronologically here. I remember this opening scene. Remembered it very well. I did not remember that they start off by doing computer duster. I forgot they start off inhaling. I was like, oh,
those whippets? What are we doing?
Yeah, well,
it's worse than that. It's something that as soon as you huff it in, it interrupts the, you know,
cuts off the oxygen flow in your brain.
In your brain with your central nervous system for just a second. Mm-hmm. Hopefully clicks back on, but there are people and they're gone.
That's it.
But if you want to do that. Shit. It's cheap. It's controlled now, though, because I actually had a computer that was very dusty and went to get duster.
Sure, Dave.
I had to be ID'd to be able to get that stuff to undust everything in this computer I was trying to sell. And I was like, really? It's like, yeah, it's abused. It's a real thing.
I will tell you, I think I've seen every episode of Intervention. There's an episode of Intervention where this lady is hooked on duster. It is the wildest fucking shit because, like, obviously, I didn't realize that the high lasts like 3 seconds. So you have to do it continuously all fucking day long to stay fucked up on it. And she goes to like Office Max and buys 80 cans at one time. Just like the guy is selling her this must be like, okay, like, this is not okay. But she buys so much of it. And at one point, she's laying down in a cemetery, like in front of a giant, instead of a giant headstone, just sucking on a can. And she looks at the camera, she goes, I feel like I'm walking on sunshine. And I'm like, oh, no, this is bad.
It's the inhalants. I remember there was a documentary about Steve-O.
From
Jackass, where he just had those little cartridges of nitrous.
Yep.
And he would load them up, suck it down, and he just had thousands of them all over the floor of his apartment.
A pile.
Because it's just like this. It's you feel good for about 2 seconds. So got to do it again.
Yep.
Okay.
Isn't it all drugs?
No, nah, man. No, weed will be high for a little while.
Okay, that's true.
Crack is one where it's like a 3 minute high. I didn't realize that either. But watching Intervention, people are like, yeah, you smoke crack, you're high as fuck for 2 minutes, and then it goes busts away. So you gotta keep on smoking.
It busts through the blood brain barrier a lot faster than a lot of other formulations of cocaine. It gets you. You're addicted.
It's quick.
Right away.
It's quick.
You're chasing the dragon.
Yeah. So these two girls.
Let's talk about drugs some more. I like this. Let's do some drugs.
So these two girls are sitting. We see it first with Evan Rachel Wood, Tracy's face, and she's like touching her face in slow motion. And then she just asks her friend to hit her because she can't feel anything. She's full on the weekend. I can't feel my face. Mm. And she's like, no, hit me harder. And then she's just like, punch me. So you're getting beat the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then I think the most jarring part of this to me is that it is the middle of the day. It is full sunlight outside. Like, it feels like this is what you do when your parents go to sleep at night. Not just like, oh, it's 2 p.m. Let's do a lot of computer duster and get hit in the face. So then we cut to 4 months earlier. Does 4 months feel believable to you guys? Is that a realistic amount of time to go from where she was to where she winds up?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. The kind of drugs that were involved. Yeah. It felt
fast to me when I first looked at it. But then I remember, again, I might bring up the show a lot this episode, but I know episodes of Intervention where someone's like, yeah, I had my first drink at 11 and then 2 months later I was shooting heroin. So like, think about it. If you're around somebody that's given booze to like a sixth grader,
booze,
they are not going to hesitate to give you everything else too. And like, if you're one of those kids who's hanging out with 17-year-olds that are giving you real drugs, it's like, yeah, I got some heroin, I got some speed, I got to snort these pills. Like, it just seems like at that age, there's no, you know, cognitive part to go, yeah, no pills and no powders, man. Like, it just seems like you hit the ground running.
And life when you're a kid sucks.
Yeah.
School sucks. And because your world's so small and
great. Get a job and then come back.
I loved high school too. I loved high school sometimes, but not enough to go fucking huff computer cleaner and shit like that. But
I loved high school. I hated middle school though.
Yeah, your world is so small, and you can't see the possibilities for the future. Like, I need something to make me feel nothing as quickly as humanly possible, and that's where you get shit like this.
I just drove my car too fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's all I did.
I think it's like 4 months earlier, but I think like once they do the cutback, I think that's like the beginning of the school year, right? Like, it's,
yeah.
Yep.
And then I think by the end, like they're almost at the end of the school year. So it's that's like how a it full.
That's how it felt. We didn't get any holidays. We didn't see Christmas. I mean,
in California. So like,
there'd still be a tree in that ramshackle
home. They're also poor.
They're poor. Didn't see Halloween. I don't know. At 13, you're still doing Halloween shit.
That's not the fun stuff.
Didn't the dad have a good job when you're paying support?
We're talking about the dad. The dad.
Renting a whole house. I mean, that's.
He seems like he's doing great. Let's talk about him. Okay. In the beginning here, Tracy is a very normal kid. Her pigtails make her look legit young. One of the things that I said before, I appreciate a lot of the cinematography. When the movie starts, the colors are very saturated. Everything feels very warm. Like, they have a warm palette and everything. By the end, this movie is basically black and white. Like, all the color is gone. But, yeah, like, I thought that was clever. And she's got, you know, a couple of friends who seem like they're very similar to her, and a mom and a brother. And she goes to Portola Middle School. And when it said middle school, I'm like, oh, my God, that's right.
I remembered back to, it's called 13. I'm like, they're 13.
Yeah. Okay. It's in the title. Yeah. It's in the title, y'all.
Well, I know, but still.
And it hit me because my wife is a middle school teacher. She specifically works with, like, the at-risk youths, like the kids that have a lot of truancy problems that need extra support because they have, like, a rough home life. Like, these are all of her students. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, she's had kids that have gone missing for a little while because they ran away, or kids who have been expelled for selling drugs at school and shit. Like, these are the students that she deals with all the time. So that was just like, I'm not comfortable watching this now. But this school, it feels more like urban or more street than I thought it was going to feel like. Because in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is a regular ass suburb. I don't think it's a regular ass suburb. It seems like everyone is kind of struggling economically here.
They seem close enough to, like, Venice, I'm guessing. Or maybe they have to take a bus there. I'm like, are they, like, inland from Venice?
I don't know.
There's areas there, but it's also pretty nice. So maybe that's just where they ended up.
Yeah, more affordable. Like, I do think it's like this is not a great neighborhood. This is why they can afford to live there. So, like, it is a bunch of street toughs in this school.
Yeah, everybody at this school is an extra from a Limp Bizkit or a Power Man 5000 video. Like, all the dudes.
This is like, if you don't have a Furious Styles in your life, this is what happens to you.
Yeah. Well, and it felt like this is a neighborhood that would have been really nice to live in like the 50s.
Yeah.
When the money left and like the houses are still there and like, you know, that's this kind of people move somewhere else.
No, like, the one next door was very nice.
That's
beautiful. And then there's like, it's dotted with ones that are like, oh, they don't do as much to keep up the other places.
It feels a little bit hit or miss. It feels like it's a neighborhood that's going to be gentrified in 10 years, but it's not there yet.
Oh, these are $2 million houses today.
Yes. 100%. Yeah, they are. So she's got this brother, Mason. Mason is a delinquent. I always kept thinking he's like Bart Simpson. He's like a harmless, like, teenage jackass, basically. And we find out right away that the whole school wants to fuck Edie Zamora. How old is Mason? Because he goes to her school, right? So is he 14?
I'm going to guess this is like a 7th through 9th middle school.
Okay.
Because
I don't believe he's just a year older.
It doesn't make sense that he would be. It didn't feel right that he was.
Yeah, so I think he's like a 9th grader.
Okay. Even that seems young for him,
or it could be one of those like random situations where like maybe it's all on the same campus, but it is like a 7 through 12.
I could see that where you've got, because we had what, 3 campuses for our high school. We had a freshman center, and then we had like an office building next door that they had classes in too. So I guess it could be one of those.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I feel like there was like one school by me or somewhere where it was like it's all in the same place. Well, yeah, and like did, they yeah. try to keep the seventh and eighth graders separate, but then like the ninth should be like drifting in, so there winds up being like a little bit of like cross pollination because it's all on the same campus.
Crone is next to Nipah, right, Dave?
That's the thing. We had people who were in eighth grade at Crone, and then it became the freshman campus and had to stay there.
They stayed there. How sad!
Oh, how I sad. Hated that for them,
but it was. Yeah. I mean, the middle school was next door to our high school, so I guess that could be that he could be in a different school, but that would make more sense then. They make it very clear early on that every boy and girl at the school is sexually attracted to Evie. And you know, knowing that she wrote it, I'm like, yeah, write yourself as the sexiest person alive. Why not? Just go ahead and
She was originally supposed to play Tracy, but I don't know if she's that great of an actress.
No, she would not be able to carry that role, I don't think, as well. Yeah. Now then we cut to Tracy's home life here. We find out that Holly Hunter is an overwhelmed hairdresser. At first, I thought all those kids were hers because there's like the two boys that are like she's spraying colors in their hair. And I'm like, oh, my God, like your life is chaotic. But it turns out she's like an in-home hairstylist and people just bring their kids over. And I think she just has to feed those kids.
I'm gonna need to see that license real quick.
Ain't got no license.
And I'm guessing this is an unlicensed.
She can't pay taxes. She's not paying any income taxes on this. This is all cash business.
She does have a pro chair though, there. So yeah, I don't.
It's true.
You can get that. I didn't see a good sink though. I think they had the kitchen sink. Like at kitchen least in sink. my mom. Oh, yeah. My mom was a hairdresser, but at least in our house, like we had like a hairdresser sink in one of our bathrooms. So that way, like if people came,
Cool. When they washed out that lady's blonde dye, it was in the kitchen sink.
It's not dye, it's bleach. That's why it burns.
Back when,
true. Burned her eyes out.
Back when I had hair, I used to love just being like, yeah, you know what? Wash me too. Oh,
it's so nice. It feels I would love when my mom would get like her acrylic nails done. I'm like, oh, get in that scalp.
I would pick like you. The one with the really long nails, I'm like you, please. Thank
get
you.
In awesome. See,
for me, I've gone to get a professional shave one time that was very nice. With the wooden cream and the whole nine,
I've done that and gotten destroyed. I was drunk at the time and I was bleeding all over the place. It was in Vegas. It was a dumb decision after a long night of drinking. I'd be like, dude, let's go get straight razor shaves and then gamble a bunch and drink some more. I'm like, this is a good idea. It was really dumb.
I used to go to the Black Barber in Iowa City with a straight razor. You did a great job with it.
Blarber.
Yeah, the Blarber. So
there was one.
Okay. Yep, there's one. There's only one. So I didn't pick up on Holly Hunter being a recovering alcoholic the first time I watched this movie. I didn't know what "it works if you work it" meant at the time. And I'm like, what meetings is she fucking going to all the time? I did not pick up on that when I was 18.
Well, I'm just not like when I was watching it back this time, I'm like, because I think she like is drinking cider later, but maybe it's non-alcoholic.
I was confused by that because we only see her drink one time though. Like she chugs out of a bottle that one time. We don't see her with like a beer.
But that's why I wasn't sure. Like, was it like an NA recovery? Like, I wasn't sure what she was in recovery from.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's really. I was like, was it pain pills?
There's a part where Brooke offers her a beer and she says no, thank you. But like, I mean, that could just be because you're sober in general. But yeah, like I didn't pick up on that. And I feel like it does impact the way that I interpret her in general. Cause I'm like, you've got enough going on where it's like, I can see how you might not want to subject yourself to the emotional turmoil of this. Cause it could be a trigger for you, especially because your daughter was so good 2 months ago. And it's just like, I just want to hold on to that. And then we also find out that Tracy writes really sad poetry.
She's a bummer.
She's
going through stuff, you know.
I was like, is this a Dylan Thomas poem or something? This is kind of a bummer. It's sad bummer. Stuff. But that it was also poem, very, very good, like way above a most 13, like 99% of 13-year-olds. So I don't know.
You know, it feels like that poem alone is enough to be like, I need to talk to my kid. Instead, she's like, no, you're in charge. Watch this 8-year-old. Bye.
Well, she's like, we gotta talk about this later.
Rage against the dying of the night. Yeah, she kind of rushes out like, my shit to do. I gotta go see this guy about this thing.
She was on her way to a meeting. She's like, I gotta go to a meeting.
Oh, she was going to a meeting.
She was going to a meeting, but then she didn't come home and talk to her about it. She just you gotta talk about that. So the next day, I assume this is the next day. Tracy goes to school and she gets made fun of for her socks. I don't know what was wrong with her socks. They seemed okay to me.
They had like the little Paul. Was it the Paul the, Thomas? The Paul little, Thomas. Like,
yeah, the monkey guy, the sock monkey. But like,
yeah, they're still wearing that cute stuff. So like, let me tell you, Tracy in the first half of the movie, that was like me in middle school. Very adorable, innocent little angel. It doesn't really change because, again, as I think I've talked about before, in middle school is when we got taken out of Gen Pop. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't running around with the regular kids. I was in with my honor saying, sections. I was like,
you were in the shoe.
Like, get these smart kids away from these ruffians.
That's where I was at too. Me and Megan, all of us. But like, so yeah, I could see how, and I could sympathize with this because the first day of high school, I showed up ready to play Pokemon with Chris Redd, and he's like, no, I don't do that shit anymore. And I'm like, oh no. So like,
no, Chris
yeah.
Redd. Yeah. They Chris Redd. Oh my Chris God. Redd.
He was famous for a couple years. But yeah, like I just.
And then he fucked over Keenan Thompson. That's enough to get you excommunicated. Never going to see him again. Hollywood.
Never going to see him again. But yeah,
he's
I just.
Been around Hollywood for. Since he was
his
like.
His whole
eight.
Life is a
you
whole
don't play with
life.
Keenan.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't play but, with Keenan.
Yeah, so she. The cool girls, Evie and the cool girls, make fun of her socks. She goes home and is like, I'm a teen now. And throws away all of her clothes and all of her stuffed animals. And Holly Hunter is not fazed by this. She's like, hey. What's up with those socks? She's not like, what? You're throwing all your shit away? Like, you wrote that poem yesterday? Let's have a talk, you and I.
Well, especially because, like, so, like, I think she eventually does take her shopping, but it's, like, very clear that, like, they don't have, this is where you start to realize, like, it's starting to, like, lay in. They don't have a ton of money because they don't go to the mall. They go to some lady who has a van by the beach.
Yeah, yep.
Ooh, and she pays in
clothes. Yes, yes.
Holly gave her pills, right?
Like, she pays in crumpled ones and some pills. And the lady's like, right on.
Is this good enough? Like, yep.
She does say right on. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, right on. I'm like, oh, pills? I could wash those off, she said.
It sounds like Venice Beach. I think they live in Venice.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly. But it's like that thing where, like, let me tell you what. I wasn't poor, but it wasn't like I come from a frugal stock. You know what I'm saying? We are penny pinchers. Mm-hmm. If I threw out something that was perfectly fine, even if it had a hole in it, my mom's like, we could sew that. What are we doing? And you think like Holly doesn't like freak out. So I think it's like what you realize with the film is like Holly does have a lot of her own shit going on, but she's also trying to be like cool mom. And I think
she's trying really hard to be cool mom.
Right. Put the foot down. We don't throw out clothes here. No, you want to jazz them up? We can jazz them up. But we do not.
She was trying to be too friendly.
Things. Yep.
And that was the downfall.
This is what I meant when I said that, like, I had a problem with some of the pacing and some of the character development because they are very close. And so it kind of feels like Holly Hunter is looking at it as, like, this is still a very good friend of mine. My daughter and I are still best friends. Yeah. She is getting older. I need to just like be along for this ride essentially. Yeah. And I'm not here to guide her. I'm just here to like, you know, be her buddy and make sure she doesn't die basically. But they do this whole, now I have new clothes. She shows up at school. She bitches her friends to go track Evie down in the hallway to get noticed basically. And Evie's like, They do a visual cool check where you see like real quick shots of all the different
visual
articles
pat down, ocular pat down.
Yep. She's cool. Got the Converse that she's drawn on those and she's got a wristband now and bracelets and
so
shit.
So cool.
You got a happy face on your Converse.
So many bracelets.
A lot of bracelets. We find out later she's got a lot of bracelets.
I know.
Wristbands and shit. Yeah. So she's like, all right, cool. You dress cool now. I made fun of you yesterday. Now we're friends. She gives her her number and is like, hey, we're going shopping later on. Did she give her a fake number or was her phone disconnected? Why would she do that?
She doesn't actually want to hang out with her.
But I mean, it wasn't like there were other people that were around to see this. Like, she didn't have to say, hey, you look cool today. Like, here's my number. Let's hang out later.
I think it was just like, hey, I think your outfit looks cool. And then I feel like Tracy pushed to get a number.
Here's a piece of paper and a pen. You got to give me something, right? And she's like, okay, here's our number.
Okay.
And I think it was the thing of like, maybe you're cool, but then you brought out this, you don't have your own phone. You gave me this like little cutesy piece of paper. It was thing, a cutesy, then it was like,
yeah. Okay. I get that. That's she got the ick. I get that.
Yeah.
It gets weirder too. Tracking people down is weird. Yeah,
so then she shows up.
Weird.
And like were they at the mall at this point, or were they on Rodeo or whatever?
They were on Melrose. They went to Melrose. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're so smart, you don't rob in the mall because it takes a while to get out of there. You rob on the street, you can go to a side street and so on. That's
rob on the street.
They also are always go back to the same store.
Yes.
To do their robbing.
Yes. Which,
they do.
It's a bad idea. Don't do that.
13-year-olds are fucking idiots. The fact that they're even allowed back in this store.
Diversify your portfolio, man.
Dumb. Yeah, they're
dumb as hell. So yeah, she tracks them down in the store and she's like, hey, I tried to call you, blah, blah, blah. Number didn't work, whatever. And right away, Evie and her friend, I don't know her friend's name, but her friend is also bad, but seems like she is totally fine if this shit have any consequences. But she's like, all right, yeah, we're just shoplifting loud as hell. They are shoplifting so loudly, cracking up, laughing the whole time, like, you are gonna get caught. I think Tracy got scared off by the fact they were shoplifting, goes outside and has like a sliding doors moment where she's like, I could go home and be like, well, I'm just normal, or I could commit grand larceny and just steal from this woman who is having what sounds like a really stressful business phone call. Like, her life is falling apart.
I don't think it's business. I think it's meant to be, I'm a rich lady who's having an event, and you're fucking with my event.
Okay.
Because we're not supposed to feel bad for the woman who gets robbed.
We're not supposed to. She just gets robbed, and it's just she gets robbed. So, yeah, she shows up and she's like, hey, now I have all this fucking money. We're friends now. I just robbed this woman. And watching these girls go shopping with this money, I'm like, you guys are the most obvious, I have stolen this money people I've ever seen in my life.
Give the change with shoes. I'm like, why the fuck would you give a tip for shoes?
Not only that, they're buying shoes that are like the display shoes. Who knows what size those are? They haven't tried them on.
They were the chunky Steve Madden ones.
They got chunky Steve Maddens. Yeah.
They really needed, what is it, like Jimmy from like Goodfellas? You don't spend a dime after the Lufthansa heist.
It's
no minx. No,
my wife's cop. I love that cop.
Yeah.
What the fuck did I tell you? I love that cop.
We're gonna do it for the podcast. If that is our last episode ever, we're doing it for the podcast.
They start as kids.
They do. The first Karen! Couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Karen, that was all we had.
They never would have found it. Karen.
Why did that all happen?
God, it's good.
Every cat is so good.
It's so good. So anyway, we get back home, and this is where we realize that Holly Hunter has bad taste in men. Brody shows up carrying a shop vac. What? No bag, just a shop vac.
Yeah.
Jeremy Sisto in 2003 shows up.
They may as well have played like porno funk music when he's like, hey, can I put this in your garage?
I have had a crush on that man since Clueless, since Elton. So
I understand. I get it. Yeah, and he moves in right away. Like he's there. He never goes home.
That's what you see. So like there's moments where like you start to sense like why, like, Tracy starts to rebel, because then she has to be like the mom. She's like, really?
Yeah, right.
He's broken your heart. Like, you said you wouldn't do this. You promised. Like, we get to see a flashback. I don't know if it's in this instance or later.
It's right.
Or we get to see that. What is he like fucking freebasing out of a coke can and almost
think so.
ODs?
I think he legit OD'd.
It wasn't weed, I can tell you that.
No.
I've done that out of a can, and you don't react like,
The worst thing that happens is you burn your hand or burn your mouth.
He was freaking out. He was
dying. And that's also where we find out that Tracy self-harms as well. Trigger warning, she cuts herself. It's unfortunate.
I think this is when she starts to, though, because there's just like too much in her know. And she's got to get it out.
See, I don't know if this is when she starts or if it's always been triggered by Brody being around and she was fine until he came back. Because it felt like this is a routine. Like, it didn't seem like she was like, what am I going to do? I have to find something. So she went right to where the scissors were, like, sat right down. It felt like this has been done before, but, like, not recently to me. But, yeah, he moves in, never leaves. And then I guess. Well, he eventually leaves for his own sanity, which is wild. But after this,
it's really bad for me.
Yeah, this is too much for me. The cocaine addict. This is too bad for me. So Evie takes Tracy to the park, and this is like when things really begin to turn. I wanted to know how long do you guys think that she's been hanging out with Evie before they go to the park?
Not long.
Is it the same day they shoplifted, or is this? It's nighttime, so it could be that same.
I don't think
night.
It's the same day because I think she has like different outfits. Like, I think it's like a subsequent hangs, but it's not long.
It's not long.
She gets in her good graces.
Yeah, it's well. Plus, I feel like knowing what we know about Evie, she wouldn't keep Tracy around very long if she wasn't also being bad with her.
Yeah,
I think she'd just drop it pretty quick.
It escalates quickly because. Yeah. I think we'll like talk about it when we get to Evie. Like, they're both looking for someone to love them or someone to care.
Yeah,
because that other friend.
Yeah, they want somebody to love. Yeah.
That other friend that Evie has, like, yeah, I just do drugs and I'm normal. Like, I don't have any stress in my life. I'm gonna play
this shit.
Some people can do that. They just can do drugs.
Trims on my face.
Often,
yeah,
just walk
yeah.
away. And they're yeah. good, but yeah. very yeah,
we,
few.
Dave, most people we, get. We have a friend who is a personal trainer who just does drugs sometimes and is totally fine.
Sure.
He seems like he's thriving. So when they go to the park, with a bunch of boys. At first, I thought these were like Mason's friends, but they're not. They're just like other boys that are older.
This is where we start. It starts here, and you didn't note it out, so I'm just going to call it out now.
Go for
they
it.
Always seem to get up to no good with boys of color.
No, really? No way. Yes.
I did notice that. It bothered me.
I kind of love
throughout
all black
the movie,
kids.
I kept seeing it. I'm like, wait, what are they trying to say here?
Yes.
What's
going on?
But I mean, Evie is also Hispanic, so there is that. I don't know if Nikki Reed is, but her last name is her name is Zamora. So like your Evie Zamora, yeah. Brooke is not, which is her cousin, so that's confusing.
I got cousins who don't look like me.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. And Christina Aguilera is Mexican and does not look it. So like that's entirely possible.
Mexican?
I believe she was
Colombian. I thought she's South American.
Mexican. Okay.
I thought she was Mexican.
She has Latina Bolivian. In her.
Yes.
Aguilera?
Yeah. Christina Aguilera? Like, come on.
She was not raised amongst
no,
the she's Latinos, from
Pittsburgh.
Latinas,
she's from Pittsburgh. But yeah, I did notice that all the boys that are trouble are black boys, and then the only boy who's like, well, no, actually not true. That dude from that they meet on Melrose is white as can be, and he is the worst of all of them. It seems he's also an adult, and Luke is a grown up. So we find out at this moment Evie's a drug dealer. She's selling drugs and then also buying drugs at the park. I had this moment where I'm like, imagine being a high school boy and your drug hookup is a seventh grade girl. Like that's
well,
that's
Evie
that's
is eighth grade.
Here.
Maybe
think so. I mean, she's older.
I thought she was. I thought so. I thought I had to sneeze, but Christina Aguilera is Ecuadorian.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, They're at the park. They're doing drugs. They're hanging out with these boys. They're
what,
the only
what
girls
are these
there.
Drugs? Why was it in like a little tinfoil?
I don't know. I mean, I've bought weed in foil before.
I think there was gum and it was dipped in acid. I think that was taken at some point. So there was acid.
Okay.
There was the huffing.
Uh-huh.
But they eventually later in the movie are straight up snorting some kind of powder.
Snorting pills or cocaine, one of the two.
Is it cocaine? I have no idea.
I think it's pain pills.
Crush them up.
Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, while they're at the park, they're the only girls there, which is a big red flag to me because these boys are all older too. One boy, I couldn't tell if that boy was Javi that was trying to kiss Tracy, if that was just another random black boy in this movie.
A random black kid.
She playfully pushes him away. So we know at this point that I'm okay doing drugs. Stop. Boys, I'm not there yet.
Random this kiss on cheek. Stop it.
Yeah. This is why I think it's early. It's like, I'm just getting my feet wet into your life. And you're like, I'm not ready for physical contact.
It felt a little bit like this is the first time that she's really been like approached by a boy like this. And I can recall it might have been the first week or the second week of freshman year. I went to my first high school party with the bad kids and I was like, I'm not ready for this. All these girls are really sexual and I don't know what I'm doing here. Like I felt I needed an adult. I was very scared. Yeah. The sprinklers come on at the park and it's sprinklers on, clothes off. I don't know why. The sprinklers come on and then 10 or so heterosexual boys just like get naked and like start dancing with each other. And I'm like, no,
you don't do that.
No, I could see if they're like all trying to impress the girls and like take off their shirts and like try to look like Abercrombie dudes, but they were ignoring the girls when this happened. They were there for themselves.
Yeah. Do the homie. It was a lot of that
stuff.
Do the homie. It's like, just
yeah, just do the homie.
Violently bumping chests with each other.
Just humping.
That was good.
This is where we see Holly Hunter drink out of the big old bottle that might have been booze and might not have been booze.
I miss this part.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing it up.
She mentioned
it takes some kind of a drink, or do you think it was a cider, like an apple cider?
Well,
he says apple cider. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, maybe it's just apple cider. Perhaps.
But that's why I couldn't tell, like, because it's also like Brody is very much was obviously like we see him smoking something out of a tin can. So I'm like, that's where it's I don't know, it's hard to thread a needle of like maybe it doesn't matter, but I'm like, what is Holly recovering from? Like is it harder drugs or is it alcohol?
How long is her recovery? I'm curious, because the rule is, what is it, the first year or two or something? You're not supposed to be in a relationship with anybody?
Yeah, first year.
I'm guessing she's beyond a year if she's with somebody, but she's also with someone who their recovery is shaky at best.
It feels like she's been in recovery a while. Because it's
she
not
probably
like...
just has her backslides and she comes out. Like, I don't think it's a straight line. Like, I don't think she's...
I think she's had some relapses before. But then, the girls get home because Mason goes and like finds Tracy and brings her home. Tracy comes in the house very clearly fucked up, and Holly Hunter doesn't react because she's a bad mom. Like, she's a bad mom. If my kid came in the house after being gone missing for hours, comes in the house soaking wet, I have a board game that he's been asking for, and he goes, "I'm a lion." And throws shit over, like, no. Evie, get the fuck out of my house. Don't come back over here. Like, we have to solve this now. She doesn't even care.
I think it's that thing of like, so maybe I see it from two perspectives. If the kid's already fucking high, and Mel, Holly Hunter, I just kept calling her mom in notes, would know that it's like this person's out of their mind. Like, I'm not getting through to them. But yeah, it would have been like, but also, you're not going to throw Evie out on the street either.
So I am.
To me, it would be like,
I don't know her. Like,
but she's like a kid, and she's and that's where you see her like feeding her clients. Like, I think
it's very weird.
She's a nurturer.
Holly has like a bleeding open heart. But I would have been like, you guys are going in there, you're going to sleep, and let me tell you, second they come out of that room in the morning, it's like, Evie, call Brooke, you're going home.
It becomes very intimate.
Tracy, let's talk.
Evie, very quick. Like, they don't talk about that.
I mean, I think about my parents. I think I might have told the story before. My brother had a party one time. My parents were not gone overnight. They were just like gone for part of the night. My brother had a full on fucking rager and fell asleep, but passed out into the computer keyboard and then threw up all into the keyboard.
It's a good story. It's a good story.
And so my parents came home. And obviously, I'm like, I'm getting the fuck out of Dodge. Like, I was in my room with the door shut all fucking night. I'm not a part of this. This is your problem. And I remember the next morning, My dad woke my brother up at like 5:30 banging pots and pans together, and then followed him around the house banging pots and pans together, making him clean everything up. He cleaned the entire house as my dad is like just playing a drum solo on pots and pans right by his head the whole fucking time. But like, yep, the next morning, there's just no, there's no repercussions or anything about that. Yeah. I mean, Evie just lives here now, is what happens. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I think next morning, it's like nothing happened.
That's what it would be. Like, I think in the moment, there's not really a whole hell of a lot you could do. But yeah, the next morning, it's like, call the cab, Evie, see you later.
Yep.
Tracy, let's go. We're talking this out.
Like, we're fixing this. Next morning. We're fixing
this right here, right now.
Next morning, Holly Hunter's over here making French toast. Like, it's not, no, she doesn't, there's no consequences for any of this. And at this point, Evie just like, fucking, I'm never leaving. I'm staying here now.
I think it's the thing of like, she's looking, because like, that was her first thing of going like, oh, I love French toast too. Like, I think it was like, oh wow, you have an adult in your life that obviously you have a
mom. Like,
you have a mom.
A mom.
Yeah.
Because Evie has a mom. Evie has what we are told is her cousin. I'm not sure if it's actually her cousin.
Guardian,
she's got a guardian.
And she has whomever this woman is.
Yeah. I would also like a mom who would make me French toast, please. Thank you.
Yes.
That would be good. Yeah. Now, what has Evie been doing before this? Did she just like bounce from friend to friend and from like house to house and never live at her own house?
I think so. Yeah.
Good Lord. So they have one sleepover, and now Tracy's one of the plastics. That shot of them walking arm in arm down the hall is the exact same as the shot from Jawbreaker.
Yes.
It's the same shit.
Yeah.
We got right away. And again, this might be the first week they're hanging out together. Like, this is the morning after the park. So it's early on. Go to get a tongue piercing from a man who is obviously a pedophile. I was really uncomfortable watching Evie seduce her way into a free tongue piercing for Tracy. I'm like, oh no, you've done something with this man.
Well, it's also very clear that like this is how she gets by in life.
Yes.
She like spins
the yarn. She's charming.
Yeah. She's charming. Well, she also just like makes shit up. Like, I wish I had written down like all of the lies.
Well, she's lying all the time.
This is how she gets by.
Yeah. It's not even really getting by. It's that's not something you need to survive as a tongue piercing. She just, it'd be one thing. She's like, I need like $100 worth of groceries. And she does something like that. That'd be fine. This is for like extra stuff.
Yeah. Got that chat. She got that chat.
But I think it's just kind of like, if I can, I will.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what I can get out of people.
Which is, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a bad trait. And then she tells her, so they get the tongue piercing. And then she tells Tracy, just don't open your mouth wide when you talk. Your mom won't notice. And that works, which is, again, Holly Hunter's a bad mom.
Yeah, just like,
she didn't even really try to hide it. I'm just like,
no.
This goes on for months after this before she realizes it.
So eventually it's like, bah, look at
Then they go back to the house. Cynthia is there, who's one of Holly Hunter's regular clients. They rob Cynthia. Just take her fucking money too. And then they go back into Tracy's room and Evie pierces Tracy's belly button. Again, I'm pretty sure this is broad daylight. This is the middle of the fucking day. She doesn't know what she's doing because she's 13. So now there's blood. And then Holly Hunter doesn't even care to investigate this. Evie like runs into the bathroom, grabs a bunch of towels. He's like, oh yeah, we spilled some soda. And Holly Hunter's like, yeah, okay. That sounds about right. No, man. Like, knock on that fucking door. This is also when we start to see Evie really begin to like seduce her way into Holly Hunter's like inner circles. She's like Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver, but like she's good at it. Eddie Haskell was very see-through.
Like a menace. This is like when I was watching this movie, I was like, oh, this is why my parents are always like, you don't have friends upstairs and you don't close doors.
I can have friends upstairs. I never did because there was nothing fun in my room, but I could have friends upstairs. I don't think we could close the door, and there was for sure no girls upstairs and no girls home when parents weren't also home. It was a very serious rule.
Yeah.
No
one was allowed. If you wanted to come hang out at the Griffin household, you were hanging out in a common space where mom and dad can watch you.
That's fair.
Well, not my dad was usually working, but my mom was within earshot, making food, bringing stuff in. Margaret wasn't around.
That's Bobby Lesher's mom. Bobby Lesher's mom used to bring down snacks.
That sounds great. You making sandwiches? you making something on Triscuits? That sounds awesome. I'm into it.
Like making like full on like nachos with like ground.
Holy shit! And, like, that sounds like the best thing ever. Oh my
god. So yeah, in this moment, like Evie, I forget what she says to her, but she does say "I love you" and then kisses Holly Hunter on the mouth.
Well, because like Holly is trying to kiss Tracy.
Oh, that's right.
And Tracy won't give her a goodnight kiss.
Give her the cold shoulder.
Yeah, so then like Evie just full on kisses her and goes, "I love you." And I think it's like this kid just doesn't have boundaries, doesn't know it's acceptable.
No,
like, doesn't
boundaries.
Know what is correct at all.
No. And I think she's gotten very accustomed to using her sexuality to get what she wants. And at this age, that is very terrifying. So then we get Tracy and Javi. Javi asks Tracy out. These girls have no fucking chill. He's 3 feet away and they're like high fiving and screaming. And I'm like, you gotta let him get out of earshot at least.
Yeah. Can we kick it sometime?
Can I holla at you?
Can I holla at you? Holla, holla, holla. Holla, holla, holla. Holla, holla, holla,
holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla,
holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla, holla. We get this whole thing where Tracy and Javi are going to hang out over at Evie's house. Evie's guy is named KK. I don't know how old Javi and KK are. I mean, they asked them out at the middle school, but we also see them driving a Jeep later. So, like, they 16, might just be the right? gross high school juniors who are just like macking on middle school girls like R. Kelly. Yeah. Fucking awful. Before the boys come over, Tracy and Evie make out and then they compete via making out. Like they're Evie straddles her dude and takes her shirt off. Tracy looks over, then straddles her dude and takes her shirt off. They keep on looking at each other, making out like I can top that.
That's so weird.
It's disturbing.
And they go back and forth, and at the end it ends with Evan Rachel Wood just laying on her side, like, and her face is neutral. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I was ready for that.
Well, she says we're perfect together, and then she has what she thinks is a deep thought, where like if everyone married from some other race, then prejudice would be gone in one generation. And I'm like, you don't know what colorism is, man. That's just gonna change.
Eventually, it just get lighter.
You just get colorism at that point.
I think that's just like, it's a high thought. I don't know what drugs she's on. Was she on something?
Yeah, because they were doing drugs, and then we find out that Tracy has blown Javi because she says it tasted kind of nasty. So she obviously.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why I had to rewind it because I didn't hear what she said. Her turn it up, and she's like, "Yeah, so Evie's like, oh, so you liked it or you had fun?" And she's like, "Yeah." Tasted kind of nasty, though. And then she had, like, a sly smile on her face. And he was like, oh, we didn't talk about that one. And I'm like, oh, no, you're 13, sucking dicks. So after this, we cut to them with Luke. And Dave, we've talked about there were...
Sunshine.
I had neighbor girls across the street. One was in your class. And then she had a sister who was, I think, 2 or 3 years younger than her. And another one who was younger than that one. Mm-hmm. They were these girls. And I remember when the summer of 04, so maybe they watched this first, and I guess those moms had reason to go and cuss out Nikki Reed. But I was working on my car in the garage, and this same fucking thing happened, and I didn't handle this like Luke handled it. So these girls go over to Luke's house. Luke is a neighbor who, I'm going to say he's 20. He lives by himself. His parents moved out and left him this house, but he's got to be 20 years old.
At least.
Yeah. They go over to his house, and right away, Evie is like, I'm down to clown. Like, take your pants off, basically. And he's like, what? No, you're jailbait, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I guess so.
What?
Like,
no.
Yeah.
What?
He acts like he's not down. He's completely down. And then they have a moment where Evie is like, Tracy, come make out with him. And she's like, no, I can't. That's Luke. That's not okay. And Luke is not like, no, also Tracy, you should not. He's like, yeah, get over here. I'm like, oh, God.
The way he like barely put, and I'm like, these are tiny, tiny little girls.
Yes.
He doesn't say enough words. He needs to say more words.
Fuck.
No.
Get the fuck out of here. So I will tell you.
To physically remove them from him and push them out the house. Like, I will tell you end of sentence. Like, what the fuck?
Before they, you know, pour shots and start doing them, get the fuck out of my house. Yes. Why are you in my house?
The way that Kevin Adams and I handled this when these two 13-year-old girls were in my garage trying to have sex with us, we were like, get the fuck out of here. Like, no, seriously, we're not even making eye contact with you. You guys are in bikinis. Get the fuck out. Go back to your house.
Not today. Yeah.
No. And then once they left, we closed the garage door. We're like, nope, we're not doing anything. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
He eventually comes to his senses and he's like, what I'm doing is a crime right now.
He freaks out.
I think too far.
And by a little bit, I mean, like, he's gone way too far with two children. Like,
because I think he's like, oh, we might fuck. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was like, my dick's hard. Whoa. Yep. Nip this in the, I'm about to commit crimes.
It's very much like, if you don't leave right now, I'm having sex with you. You have to get out now. I have no control over myself. It's going to happen. It's about to happen. Yeah. Like, he's just like,
my dick's just doing it.
Oh no! So
I can't be held responsible for what my dick does.
No, held responsible. Yeah.
So he throws them out, and then they run over to their house. Poor Holly Hunter is unloading groceries. Hey, can you give me a hand? I'm your fucking slave, mom. Yeah. Whoa!
Any little thing she asks for, Holly Hunter is met with, I'm fucking sad, mom. Fuck you. Eat shit. I'm like, okay.
But again, Holly Hunter is a bad mom. Because my kid do that.
All right.
Let my kid run from a grown man's house over to my house and then cuss me out on the way. Evie, get the fuck out of my house.
I fully understand.
You're grounded for a month.
Like, I get it. It's me. I don't know how far along in her recovery journey she is. I thought it was very early. I'm like, she's doing fine for someone who's really struggling, but if she's like 8 years in or something like that, then
it's bad.
She's doing terrible.
I also think like there's an earlier scene where like Luke is at the house, so I don't think like
that's true
Holly has any reason to think something like inappropriate would go on over there. Like,
that could be the case.
Was over with Mason, like it all seems like totally fine. And also, like, her yelling at her, like, she's doing that every other fucking second. Like, I don't think I would go, like, what were you girls doing with that? I don't know.
It would never have gotten to this point. Like, you've been cussed out so many times by now and just not reacted to it. She walks in and sees the thong on the floor with a dog and says, I want a bone on it. And she's not like, where did you get this? She's like, oh, okay. Like, no, Holly Hunter, like, do anything. Her daughter is actively intoxicated in front of her over and over again, and she seems unaware of this. It's like, come on.
Mason loses it. I guess it's probably this when the wheels fall off. But like,
mom, why the fuck aren't you like parenting? Why aren't you doing anything? No, it's
any form of discipline. There's like a whole thing on Detroiters, which is on Comedy Central, but it's like
great show.
There's this like shithead kid and Sam Richardson's just trying to be like, is there anything you could do with your son? And Tim Robinson is just like, hit him. He's like, I don't know. Have you thought, hey, form of discipline?
I mean, that's what it is, because it's like there's no discipline. There's no she fucks around for the whole movie and never finds out until the last 2 minutes. Like, it's crazy. So this is when the wheels do fall off. She cusses her mom out and her mom rewards her with a movie trip. And I'm like, come on, Holly Hunter.
That's very weird.
Well, now Holly Hunter is now dressing like them and trying to fit
two
in.
Friends, mom and boyfriend. That's a weird dynamic.
Well, and she was on the phone with, I don't know if that was her sponsor or one of her friends. And she's like, okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. I think her friend was like, yeah, just try to relate to her. Just like be her buddy again.
It was her sponsor. But I think her sponsor was also
I hope that's not what was said. I hope it was like him punching the mouth. Told her.
I think and it was also like, I'm going to try. And I think the sponsor was like, no, you have to do. And I think she was trying to extend an olive branch maybe, but it doesn't go well because if you're going to do a movie night, guess what? y'all are coming with us. I don't trust you motherfuckers. I'm not taking you.
Same movie. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, right, and that was the plan.
Or sit right in front of us.
Yeah. You sit between us. That was the plan. Right? But then they're like, oh no, we'll go see this Jack Black movie about balls or whatever the fuck. A fake Jack Black movie.
No, they had real stars in those. Who was the
John Cusack in the war movie?
John Cusack in a war movie and Jack Black in some movie about balls. That was good. That was
balls. It's like, I don't care what you guys want to go see. Like, the whole point is I don't trust you little bitches.
Yeah, so we're
sit right the fucking
you're
front
gonna
of us.
Sit on my lap.
Eat
you're
popcorn, gonna sit on my lap for this movie. Put all the milk duds in there you want, we'll sit, we'll watch it, it'll be great.
Yeah. So of course Tracy and Evie sneak away. They bail and they're gone for conservatively 4 hours. If not longer, like it's full sunlight when they get there. It is dark outside when they get home.
Yeah. And I don't think they're supposed to be gone that long.
No,
but...
they're gone that long because Evie's busy blowing Javi. So
and
Evie,
Tracy gets on whatever the fuck.
What? I don't know. I couldn't hear what that dude said. He had a blue mouth, which is not a good sign.
No, what's that thing from COVID where you get the blue lips? That's not good.
His name in the credits is Skanky Guy, and I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
There's a very low level him saying, "You want from a cock? What's going on?"
Like, yeah,
what
the? Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus.
And she's like, no.
Evie, where are you? She's walking in the store. I'm like, how do you think she might be here? She goes to the back, and guess who's there? Oh my God.
Evie walking out, like, wiping her mouth.
I'm like, God damn it, Evie.
With Javi.
But the thing to me is, like, what truly, because like she took a sip of that and gone instantaneously.
My guess is GHB.
Was it GHB?
My guess is it was GHB. Because the way that she reacted to it as well, I've never had any real drugs. I've never had GHB. Like I said, seen every episode of Intervention. Everyone at Intervention is like, oh, this is the nastiest thing on the fucking planet. It's so fucking gross to drink it. So like, I assume it was, in my mind, it's either GHB or lean. And I'm like, no, because lean is supposed to taste good.
Is it scissor? I think scissor even takes a second.
But also you have like Jolly Ranchers floating in it and shit. It's supposed to taste good.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I almost looked up GHB on my work computer. So
You gotta use your incognito browser for that one.
No, this is not gonna.
I gotta
look
it up on
my phone. We have VPNs. This is why we have VPNs.
Right. So,
I have a VPN, but still, I was like, "What is GHB?"
It's like a date rape drug, basically. I mean,
gamma hydroxybutyric acid.
It's not roofies, but it's like liquid roofie, basically. Like it's a heavy tranquilizer.
It's a nervous system depressant. It's called
the date rape drug. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Produces euphoria, relaxation, sociability, and something else.
Blue mouth.
If you take a little bit of it, it like relaxes your muscle and stuff. If you take a little too much, you lose control of your muscles and
they stop muscling.
Whatever.
Ones that I've seen is like you pour it into like a cap from like a soda bottle or whatever, and then drink a cap full of it, basically.
Yep.
So she was just chugging this shit. So like she's real fucked up. So they wind up finding Evie. Like we said, she's obviously blown Javi, but I think Tracy's too fucked up to notice that's what was happening in the moment. They go back to the house. Tracy legit like stumbles in super fucked up, late as fuck. Huge fight happens. Mason is, because Mason saw her in the store and tried to fuck her basically for a second until he saw that it was her. Because he walks like, hey, back that ass up. And his friend said something gross to her. And then she turned around and they realized it was her and her belly button's pierced.
Yeah.
So he's going to expose her. Tracy gets in like a fist fight with him. Holly Hunter panics and destroys her own kitchen for some reason. There's Cheerios everywhere. Tears the linoleum up.
That was very weird. But I guess that must be her thing. She's like, this is, you know how some people that deal with anxiety, they'll do whatever to try and release whatever's going on. She's like, I need to just destroy what's around me.
I think
I'll feel better. We'll see what I can do to feel.
In that moment, Tracy's like,
I don't know.
Well, Tracy's like, I don't want your fucking food, blah, 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 whatever. So, oh, so you don't want my fucking food? You want my fucking house? I'll just fuck it all up then. Like, if I do, I work so hard to provide this shitty life for you.
Yeah.
If you don't want this shitty life, then fuck it. I think she's kind of had like a nervous breakdown. Then we get new naked Holly Hunter. I was not prepared for Holly Hunter to be fully nude in this movie. Didn't realize that was part of this film. I'm like, oh, what? Like,
okay. Sure.
It was.
I felt bad
watching because she was really freaking out. It was a real.
She was. Yeah. So she gets into the shower. Brody strips her down and like puts her in the shower. And then she's in there for 2 seconds. And then she realizes, oh, no, he did this so he can sneak out. Like he's making a break for it. So then she just walks around the house, booty butt naked, and then like sits on the bed fully nude and be like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm like, you got to put a towel on or something, Holly Hunter. Like it,
no, it's her home.
That's true.
Broken people.
Mason is there. Like Mason's walking around.
He's living in that shed.
Yeah, he's in the shed.
So broken.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting it's one after one generation after another.
Yeah. So
what fixes it? I don't know.
I don't know. So while this is going on with Holly Hunter having her freak out, the girls are snorting something, probably pills. They don't even like Holly Hunter doesn't even like knock on the door or anything. Her daughter is probably in here overdosing. And she's like, well, I've got my own problems. I'm naked. the next morning, again, no pots and pans. It's just Holly Hunter being like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you. I'm trying to be real. And then we get the most jarring, confusing part of the film. Evan Rachel Wood menacingly walking forward saying, no bra, no panties. I don't know what this is supposed to be. This lost me entirely here.
I think it's just like that she's just so far gone.
Yeah.
That she's like, I'm just gonna get up in your face and say fucking nonsense.
No bra, no panties.
Nothing you can do.
The little challenge she may have gotten at some point. She got very little, if any, challenge.
No pushback like, anymore.
If I push her down, because I know that she's weak after the way that she reacted and started ripping stuff up. If I react this way, maybe I can be the alpha now. And I'll win whatever competition this is. And it's
she's like, I'm already taller than you. And she's scary, shooting her shot.
This is like 5'2" Holly Hunter with what 5'6", 5'7" Evan Rachel Wood, and it's not gonna be a contest. There's just not gonna work.
So in like a moment of desperation, Holly Hunter takes Tracy over to Tracy's dad's place. Because we've established before that like dad is not very present in their lives, but it seems like he has everything going for him.
Dad comes to their house. We find out earlier in the movie he had a kid with his new lady.
Yeah. And they just got a new house.
Yeah. And he's got big work deals. He's doing stuff for NASA. I have a question of like, what? How are Holly and this guy together? Was this before the drugs, after the drugs? I had so many questions about that.
My interpretation is they were together before the drugs. They split up. Holly did not take it well, and that's when she got into whatever she was addicted to.
It could be that. It could be that.
Or it could be that they were together beforehand. She got addicted while they were together, and then he's like, I can't deal with this. Like, I'm gone. But he seems like he's doing wonderfully. Like, his life seems pretty great. And Holly Hunter is basically, you got to take your daughter. Like, you have to take, this is severe. And he's like, nah, I got things going on.
No.
Mason. whenever
you see someone with their like feet up on the same place where their butt is and they're smoking a cigarette, give them some help.
Yeah.
I've seen people like that every time something bad happens afterwards.
They're at their end.
You're balled up. You're balled up. So then Mason is like, dad, seriously, she needs fucking help. And he's like, well, what's the problem? Tell him what the problem is. And Mason's like,
Can you break it down for me? Just ball it up and just tell me like in one sentence, what's the problem? And he's like, I can't. It's
like,
no,
fuck it. Like, it's you're not even fucking worth it, basically, is what happened there.
Yeah.
So then at this point, Holly Hunter finally goes to meet Brooke. We saw before that she was... We saw before she was trying to call Brooke on the phone and like couldn't get through to her. Brooke is a bartender. Is she a stripper? Because she put on a costume to go tend the bar.
It's one of those bars where you dress up. It's a dress up bar.
Apparently a costume bar of some sort.
Yeah. But she's also like a model. This is also after they were like, can Evie move in?
Yes. Evie's empathetic. Yeah, Evie's like, so I have to live with you guys. My guardian's boyfriend beats me. My uncle sexually assaulted me. Like, I need to stay with you guys forever. And Holly Hunter is basically like, I'm not going to say no to your face, but like, no. That's, and then later on,
emotional blackmail of the worst kind.
Emotional
blackmail, and I can't do it right now. Can't do it.
Yeah, but it's also like, you could tell throughout the, like,
and we're with him.
That Evie's just like, this place seems nice. Like, you know what I'm saying? That, like, even though it's fucking chaos and I'm, me and Tracy are in the shit, like, this is so much nicer than my house because somebody fucking cares about me here.
Yeah, at her house, I mean, she openly just like drinks in front of Brooke, and Brooke's like, okay, only one, you have homework to do, bye. So, like,
but then she openly lies to her. It's like, oh, well, there's something that happened, so like, you didn't have PE, so you already done our homework.
Yeah, they're removing asbestos from the locker rooms, so we don't have gym tomorrow, we can just do homework in during gym or whatever. So Holly Hunter meets Brooke. Brooke is going through it. She the first thing she says is, they cut my ears off.
They cut my ears off. And I was like, that was shit, drug cartel.
Oh no, I looked at him. Her ears are still there, right? Yeah. I wasn't losing my mind.
No,
still
and
there.
I was like, are they mangled? Can I not see?
But she had like a hat on.
She had
a hat.
And I was like, it's a big thing.
It's dysmorphia.
It's dysmorphia. She's looking and her ears aren't there anymore. Got
So she got a facelift.
Yeah, in her facelift, I think they like moved her ears. They had to take them off. To then
because she's like, you have to put the skin somewhere.
Is it because she can't? Can she not see them when looking
straight on? No, I think they physically like had to move.
They moved them. Yeah, and I think that also she's probably fucked up on the pain pills from the facelift at this point too.
Yeah,
she's not helped. There was a dude who was there. They're walking. That dude beat feet immediately. Like Holly Hunter walks in. This guy's like, gotta go. Just like got up and left. So I think in this moment, Holly Hunter is like, okay, Evie's home life is bad. It's not what I thought it was, but it's just as bad. Like it's a different kind of bad. And in this moment, it's like Tracy kind of comes to her senses and is like, all right, things are bad and they're getting worse. The only real way out of this for me is to like leave Evie here and so I can try to get my life together. Plus I think at this point she realizes Evie blew Javi and thinks she's upset about that. So like I again, they're back at school. This might be the next day. Evie like gets even with her. I don't know why Tracy's still trying to hang out with her, but she is. And Evie like ignores her, jumps into a Jeep and takes off. At some point Evie appears to have sicked some black Crips on Tracy.
That was
They're black because they're bad people in this
she
movie.
She was out running for gym classes, decides to take a break, and people come up to her and like accusing her. She's like, no, that didn't happen. What are you talking about?
I mean, they're obviously Crips because they're all in blue. And this is also after Tracy has self-harmed again. And in this case, she used a big old razor instead of the scissors.
Rubbing her arm. And she
bled through her shirt.
And the last time that she did it, she started moving upwards. I'm like, she wants to. Oh,
yeah.
God,
and she was going down the highway, not across the street at this point. She's not going across. She's going vertically. And then Tracy, we find out, is failing out. And again, this is one of those moments where I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. The teacher's like, you're failing out. I'm going to have to you're going to repeat the seventh grade. I'm like, oh, my God, seventh grade.
Dude,
Jesus Christ.
This reaction where it's like, you've taken three tests, you've got F's on all of them, and haven't turned any homework. So yeah, you're failing. And she's
you're
like,
failing out.
Wait,
I can fail seventh grade.
What?
Excuse me. Wait.
Well, because there is like a joke earlier that she's like, oh, well, my mom's not gonna like put this on the fridge or whatever. So like, this
mom's
is
not gonna get a bumper sticker this year.
It was a bumper sticker.
Yeah. She's threw in the trash. Kept going.
Yep.
We were like talking about this on I think a movie we watched. Oh, with like fucking Ferris Bueller's 9 Days. No One Tells Him, or like some other movie we're watching.
Yeah.
European socialism. I'm not European. I'm not a socialist. Why do I have to take this test? I'm
again. Would say my wife would have handled a lot better. Like if this is one of my wife's students, but she used to teach math before she started dealing with the at-risk students. If one of her honors students all of a sudden is failing all their tests and not turning in homework, she's getting involved. So like, yes. This was, and the teacher was like, you were one of my brightest students. You were always so on top of it. What are you doing, lady? Like, you notice this change and just, and you also notice she's hanging out with Evie, who's obviously a bad kid. Come on. Like,
teachers, yeah, teachers know which one is not. Know. Like, oh, we would talk about that shit all the time. It's like, oh, these two are hanging out. Yeah, oh,
they fucking know.
No, like, I'm going to say and there's also layers. I mean, we had deans, we had advisors, we had layers of, it seems like the teacher was it based on what was happening here.
Well, yeah. She says go to the counselor. To happen. She says you have to go to the counselor.
So there was a counselor.
There was a counselor.
Okay. And at this point, you hear that like, oh, you came up in impact, which I feel like a lot of, like they'll have these things where impact. Like, oh, these are high risk kids.
Yeah.
Because Evie turned in your fake ID. And I was like, little spider.
Because Evie's getting back at her. Yeah, Evie's mad and is getting back at her.
Why don't you let me live with you forever, you bitch? Like, that's pretty much.
Oh, you won't let me? I'm gonna ruin your fucking life.
Is it because I blew your boyfriend? It's because I blew your boyfriend, isn't it? So then Tracy gets home after the Crips threaten her. She gets home and she's walking home. And then a Brody pulls up in the car and is like, hey, I'm here to pick you up and take you home. She gets home and it is Brooke, Evie, and Holly Hunter like sitting down, obviously intervention style.
Yep.
Brooke, somebody found Evie's stash. I'm going to assume it was Holly Hunter because it was hidden in Tracy's room, they said, in all her little hiding spaces.
But no,
that was weird. And so, like one pill underneath the ball in the corner of the room.
The thing that I couldn't figure out is like I think Evie got caught first because after she
that's Tracy how it tries always to run, goes. And you try and to push like, it onto the other kid. You can push it on the other kid whenever you can.
Well, because what Evie said is they found my stash. I had to tell them or whatever. But like Brooke isn't finding shit. Like Brooke is drugged out, like not looking for anything. So I would assume Holly Hunter finally decided to be a fucking mom and is like, I'm going through all your shit while you're at school. I found this stuff. Evie, did you know about this?
But like that's the thing that I just didn't understand it though. Like if it was Evie's stash, like if Holly Hunter's going through Tracy's room, why wouldn't she just think like, oh shit, this is all Tracy's shit? Like, why were Evie and Brooke there?
So the way that I interpret it was Holly Hunter found all these drugs and then called up Brooke or Evie or whatever and was like, hey, what do you know about this? And Evie was like, I didn't know how to tell you your daughter is into some scary shit. And I was trying to keep her sane while I was there. But then you guys wouldn't let me move in. I think that's how she played this because it's at no point is it like Brooke is concerned about Evie. It's not like Evie also has a problem. It is like, no, we are here to fix Tracy's problem.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Evie blames it all on her and is like, no, these are all your drugs and all this shit. At this point,
are stupid to avoid consequences. No, they try to avoid consequences at all costs. And as soon as I saw this, I'm like, I know how this is going to go. This is how children act.
100%. Well, and this is when I noticed like how washed out the colors were. I noticed as the movie went on, it got more and more washed out. By this point, it is just blue. The screen is just like slightly blue, and that's it.
It's like the Zack Snyder cut of 13.
The Snyder cut.
Brooke and Holly Hunter go off on each other. Holly Hunter finally says the thing that I went for her to say. She was playing with Barbies before your daughter came along. Like, you should have noticed any of these things. Where is Noelle, your best friend who looks like she's 4 years old? Like, where is Vanessa Hudgens? Yeah, just not a thing anymore and just didn't notice, apparently.
Yeah. Also, when Brooke tries to put like that, Tracy's about influence, and then she's like, you little cunt. The fact that Holly Hunter didn't all out slug that woman, that would have been violent
bad
in
mom.
My house.
Bad she mom.
Has, you're not gonna...
Well, if she's a prior drug addict, she probably has priors. If I punch this person,
she could have priors.
There's gonna be some issues. So she's like,
she would have been roughed up out of my house.
I got
would have been like, I need you to leave. Yeah, it'd have been like, I'm pulling out a weapon.
Yeah. I got nunchucks.
I won't hit you, but
I'm gonna show it to you.
I'm gonna let you know I could.
I got that fang on me.
Yes.
So at this point, like I think Holly Hunter is realizing like this is the bottom here. Like we've gotten to the core of what's going on. Tracy like goes to lay in bed. Holly Hunter goes and like comforts her. And then we just cut to a shot of Tracy on one of those like spinny things at the playground, screaming.
Well, there's also the that whole thing in the kitchen. The whole thing in the kitchen was like,
yeah, the kitchen confrontation where it's like, yeah, it's a very emotional scene. Where it's just very much like things have gotten very, very bad. I'm not going to let you go off the deep end. Like, I'm here for you. We're going to fix this together, kind of a thing. Yeah. Excellent, excellent acting out of both of them in that scene. Yeah, the end, it feels like Nikki Reed didn't have a way to end the movie. So it's just like Tracy on what do you call that thing? That
it's going around.
The death machine from the playground.
There you go around. Those I don't understand why they so couldn't have just like fun. Left it on them like cuddling in bed.
That's how I would have ended it.
No, it was a version of Robin Williams, Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
It's her fault. You did it's something affirmative.
It's your fault.
It's your fault, but we're gonna. But I'm here anyway.
If it's me, the way that I end it, I end it with I had them in bed, you know, comforting her, whatever, and then I just show a shot of like Tracy and Noel like hanging out together, laughing at a TV show or whatever. So we know that something happened and she's back on the right track now, and there's full color on the screen again.
That's the point, brother. You don't know. She could become.
God. Yeah, she's not fixed.
She's coming back
to the
path, yeah,
but it's not perfect, right?
Yeah,
still fully broken, but we'll see if it she comes on the other side. I have no idea.
We'll fucking find out. So, one of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things or the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. This week we're diving on Charles Duckworth, who played Javi. He had 33 credits. This is his third one. Like, I couldn't do Evan Rachel Wood. She's too famous. I couldn't do Vanessa Hudgens. She's too famous. Like, there weren't a lot of people to pick from for this one. I was going to do Mason. He's had a very boring career. He's like a producer and a director now of things I've never heard of. So this Charles Duckworth had 33 credits. He was previously in a movie called Get Your Stuff. The plot of that movie sounds offensive. It was made in 2000. It is two like professional, affluent gay men who really want to start a family. And then they adopt some like at-risk youths and their lives get turned upside down. But it's a comedy. So I'm like, there's going to be a lot of gay jokes in that. There's going to be it's 2000. It's not going to be handled well. The box art is like two dudes shirtless, like spraying each other with a hose. And I'm like, all right, I see what this is about. He was in two episodes of Wanda at Large, which I forgot Wanda Sykes had a sitcom once upon a time. He was in one episode each of Cold Case, The District, Phil of the Future, and That's So Raven. So for a minute, he was doing Disney shit. He was a voice in Fat Albert. And then one episode each of ER, King of Queens, Veronica Mars, Bones, Crossing Jordan, Seventh Heaven, NCIS. He was in something called Fat Girls starring Monique, but it's PHAT girls. And I'm like, I don't need that in my life. He was in a movie called Feel the Noise starring Omarion, which we should do for the pod. He was in one episode each of CSI, Grey's Anatomy, CSI Miami, and Without a Trace. He was a voice in three episodes of All Grown Up, which is the Rugrats spinoff where they're in middle school. It's bad. Okay. No one asked for that. Yeah, it's real regrettable.
I love the Rugrats.
And he was a voice in one episode of The Spectacular Spider-Man from 2009. That is Spider-Man, if you don't pronounce it the right way. Then he was in nothing else until 2020. So from 09 to 20, he did not act at all. No credits. He was in something called The American King in 2020. And then also something called The American King as told by an African priestess. So I don't know if that's two different movies, if that's the same movie with like different titles, if it's Rashomon, where we're doing the same movie from two different perspectives. I have no idea what that's about. But like, he came back for those two things and that's it. So not the start of big things, not the peak of his career either, really, but he acted for a long time in some recognizable TV shows, essentially. So That does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to the superlatives. Luke is most likely to be told to have a seat right there by Chris Hansen. Noelle is most likely to say, Noelle is most likely to say, phew, dodge that bullet. Mason is most likely to say, I bet I can still do an Ollie before being rushed to the hospital. Evie is most likely to start a cult, and Tracy is most likely to turn her poems into emo lyrics when she gets to college. Yeah. That's because she's right at the right age for that. She'd be like 2008. She would be all over emo shit when she gets to college. This next movie is Dana's pick. Dana, what are we going to watch next?
Well, after this delightful film,
uplifting, a feel-good tour really de force,
had me feeling so great watching, going into my evening, put it off for as long as I could, and then I was like, okay, I gotta watch it now.
Oh boy. Yikes.
I wanted to do something lighter, something fun, something we have been dancing around, I think, probably since this podcast began, and I had mentioned it recently. So let's have some fun here on this here podcast and watch Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
We're not doing the first one. We're jumping right to Breakin' 2.
Well, as you called that when I wanted to pick it last time, you're like, man, Breaking is like their first, like there's more kids in 2.
Well, because I mean, they came out the same year. They're basically the same fucking movie.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't even know if the backstory from Breakin' 1 matters in Breakin' 2. Because the first one is all about like, oh, this girl is like a ballerina, and now she's hanging out with these boys on the wrong side of the tracks with their breakdancing, and her parents don't approve.
The first one is not available streaming anywhere, but it's like when people like make certain movies, we're like, oh, they wouldn't give us money, but we think we have a good concept, so let's just make the movie. And then that one does well, and they're like, oh, okay, now we'll give you money. Come make another one. That's like John Wick is a case of that, where they're like, what the fuck? What is this? We don't care.
The first movie costs like $8, and then they give him $40 million for the next one.
Bill and Ted. Same thing with Bill and Ted. It feels like with this one, it's like they didn't realize that they made it with perfect timing. Like it came out right when like the breakdancing craze had hit its crest, and they're like, we have to make another one today. Let's go right now. We have to make it today.
Michael Boogaloo Shrimp.
That's right, Boogaloo Shrimp and Adolfo Shabadoo Quinones.
We should have done it when Shabadoo passed. I think that was like a year or two ago.
It was like
it wasn't available.
So,
and it's just Breaking 2. Breaking the original is not available to stream, rent, anything.
I'm trying to think. I think Breaking 2 is one with the broom dance. I'm pretty sure. Yes. The broom dance and also
like Turbo and his ozone. What a
suckers break like Turbo and ozone.
Have the broom.
I think I'm trying to think of this is about the spinning room too. There's a dance number that Boogaloo Shrimp does in like a rotating room.
Here's the thing.
We're gonna find out. Guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at RecappingGallonPod. That is RecappingGowNPod. And join our Facebook group, the Recapping Gallon Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Tracy, it's not like your broke ass ever has any money for me. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.